hello and welcome. And thank you for listening in on this special Three Ways to Grow Your Business audio program. My name is Alan McGirvan, and it's my great pleasure to host the coming sessions for you. The gentleman you're about to hear, Chris Newton, Managing Director of Results Corporation Australia, is one of the most respected authorities on strategic marketing for small and medium business in this country. He's earned that reputation by helping business owners like you and me not only dramatically to improve the results we get from the marketing dollars we're spending now, but also by helping to identify marketing opportunities most business people never even imagine exist. Importantly, he's no armchair theorist. His expertise comes from applying the lessons he's learned from the advertising greats such as David Ogilvy and John Caples, and marketing contemporaries such as America's highest paid marketing guru, Jay Abraham. It also comes from nearly 25 years of sleeves rolled up, doing it himself, risking his own money, marketing. As you'll hear, much of what Chris teaches you, he learned by spending his own hard-won money, from tiny budgets of less than $150 when promoting his fledgling retail store, to investing hundreds of thousands of dollars. Of the businesses operating today, perhaps no more than 3% will ever recognize that marketing is the one investment area that has the potential to realize enormous returns on dollars spent. Simple changes can often generate not tens of percent improvement, but thousands of percent, literally. Unlike you, most business people will continue to market their businesses the same way everyone else does, because that's what everyone else does. The truly successful business person will go out and make things get better. They zig while everyone else zags. They are innovative and are successful as a result. The purpose of this program is to give you the skills and ideas you need to take your marketing to a higher level and to shift your business into high gear. Let's join Chris now as he explores the potential that lies out there for the innovative marketer.
What I want you to do is to realize that you have in your hand enormous opportunity and potential in your business. If you want to look at it this way, there's not 5 out of 100 businesses out there that are doing anything, that are really doing anything proactive in their marketing. As those people who can understand the sorts of things that we are going to talk about this afternoon, who will really fly. We've seen it over and over again. I was recently doing a workshop in the automotive industry, and two of the gentlemen at that workshop had been to one of our previous seminars. And one of them stood up and said, look, I want to tell you, when I came to the first seminar, I didn't believe that I could do these things because I'm too busy. You know, I don't have time to step back from my business. I'm too busy working in it to get back and step back from it. But he said, I walked away excited from the ideas because they were so simple. And so I have to tell you, I've just worked out that I have increased my sales to the extent my bottom line profits are up 152%. And my profits are up 43.1%, where the rest of the market is down 3%. Phenomenal. The other gentleman then got up and shared his figures, and he was also doubled his profits. And the really exciting thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that the ideas and the concepts that they were using are so simple. In fact, what I'm going to tell you this afternoon is all common sense. I'm going to tell you ways to accelerate the growth of your customer base. Many of the ideas entail no extra expenditure on advertising. In fact, some of them suggest that you spend less on your advertising. I'm going to show you ways to increase the profitability, how to sell at the value for your products and services if you genuinely believe your products and services are worth. By the way, one of the things we will do as the afternoon goes on is we will have what we call BFOs, blinding flashes of the obvious. Here's a BFO for you, just to start off. How many of you in the room truly believe that the product or service that you're now selling is worth more than you're charging for it? Can I just say that? It's worth more than you actually charge. Yeah? Why? Why would you undersell the products and services that you provide? Anyone like to tell me? Competition, yeah, exactly so. And that is the instant reaction, and thank you for that. That's the instant reaction that we tend to get. People say, if I put my prices up, the competitors will knock me off. Or if I put my prices up, people will think that I'm ripping them off. I have to tell you, they will. They will until you do one thing. Until you educate them as to why your products and services are a higher quality compared to the price. And that's what most of us think that we have to do, is compete for the bottom dollar. We're going to talk a lot about that too. The name of this seminar is Three Ways to Grow Your Business. Now, I've been in marketing for something like 20 years, and I've still only got three ways to grow a business. I can only find three. I was hoping with Bert's client's help this afternoon, we might be able to find out some more ways to grow a business, and I'd like to ask your help on that. Because I think if we can find ways that are real simple, then we'll all be able to walk away and share those ideas. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to become marketing experts. In fact, I'm going to take that a step further. I'm going to turn you into marketing experts in about the next 60 minutes. Would that be a good investment of time? Yeah? That's a guarantee. Firstly, let me tell you just a little tiny bit about myself, because I think it's important that you understand where I'm coming from and that this is not ivory tower theory. Because it would be so easy for me to stand up here and say, you know, you should do this and you should do that and you should do this. And in the back of your head, you're all saying, yeah, but you don't know how many phone calls I get back at the office, and you don't know how many fires I've got to fight, and you don't know how busy I am. You don't know that I'm there till 11 o'clock at night. The truth of the matter is that I do. You see, I must confess, I came out of Queensland University with a degree in economics, I confess. And then I went travelling with my wife. We went overseas and we spent 4 years overseas backpacking around the world. And during that time I spent just over 18 months in South Africa and was in the direct marketing and direct mail industry. And I came back to Australia and took up the logical position for someone with 4 years of travel, advertising and marketing background. I went into the travel industry as marketing manager for Jet Set Tours in Queensland. And that was fun. I spent 2.5 years there spending OPM. Anyone know what OPM is? Yeah, other people's money. It was great. I had a budget, this was a number of years back, I had a budget of over $200,000 for somebody else's money to spend. Great experience. I learned a lot about big business and politics and boardroom politics. It was a really interesting time for me. And then, after about 2.5 years there, I had a seizure. Now, before you feel sorry for me, it's a very special sort of a seizure that I had. I had what a gentleman by the name of Michael Gerber called an entrepreneurial seizure. An entrepreneurial seizure is when you wake up one morning and say, hey, I've been working for somebody else and I could do this for myself. And you go out and buy yourself a business. Anybody here had an entrepreneurial seizure? Can I just see? Yeah? And you suffered? I mean, you all have, haven't you? We've all had this entrepreneurial seizure. So again, I did the perfectly logical thing this time with a background in advertising and marketing and 4 years of travel and an economics degree. I opened a logical business. I opened a delicatessen shop. Delicatessen. Now, you might wonder why I did that, and I ask myself sometimes, why did I do that? I really do know why I did it. I did it because during our travels, I saw that overseas, gourmet foods were sold in the most exciting ways. In France alone, I learned that there were over 400 different cheeses. And when I came back to Australia, I saw that these products were just being sold as commodities. I thought, there's got to be a better way of doing it. There's got to be a more exciting way to bring products to the marketplace than just having commodities. So I opened up a delicatessen store. Now, I have to tell you, I learned some very, very quick questions, about business. For a start, in the heady days, I guess, of the early 80s, I learned that when you went to the bank and asked for money, they gave it to you, in big lumps. And then I subsequently learned that you had to pay it back. And it's not as easy as it sounds. Now, I didn't know very much about food. I came across a Swiss chef who gave me a crash course in food. And one of the things he did tell me, or taught me, I felt would really set me apart. If you can imagine this, day one in the store, and the doors are still down in the store, and I'm using this technique that this Swiss chef showed me. It's a technique where you take a big leg of ham and you get a long braided knife and you cut along the bone inside the leg of ham, and then you pull the whole bone out, and it leaves you with this really big, beautiful piece of meat. And then what you do is you go to the electric slicer, you know, those nice shiny stainless steel slicers, and you put it through the slicer, and as they slice off the slices off this big leg of ham, it comes onto the tissue paper in this ham in big, silk, moist slices. It just looks superb. And I hope you've had lunch, because, you know, I don't want to make your stomach rumble, but it just looks magic. So here am I, absolutely entranced. I'm thinking, this is my, what we call USP, my unique selling proposition. This is going to set me apart. And I'm looking at these slices, and I'm entranced, and I'm looking at them fall off, and then I just glanced up to look at the next slice coming off, and I noticed that not only was the next slice coming off, so was the top of my thumb through the slicer. No pain, just an absolute clean cut right through the top of my thumb. Well, I have to tell you, it was a pretty shocking moment for me. At that moment in time, look, I'm still reliving it, I'm holding the tip of my thumb on. At that moment in time, a thought went through my mind that forever changed my thinking. If you can imagine it, here I am, doors still down, setting up the delicatessen cabinets. What do you think the thought was that went through my mind at that moment? Yeah, it certainly wasn't, hey, more meat for the delicatessen cabinet. The thought was, who the hell is going to run my business? I just cut my thumb off. Here I am, it's my business, I'm the only one in it. My wife at that stage had two little children at home. Who the hell is going to run my business? Very lonely time. I realized at that moment in time that no one comes along on a big white charger with, you know, in armor and picks you up and says, it's all right, Chris, I'll pay your bills for you, I'll pay the overheads, I'll run your business for you until you're okay again. Very lonely. Has anyone had an experience like that? I mean, cutting your thumb off. You ever had a lonely experience in your business? Yeah, we all have. Being in business, being in small business particularly, is one of the most challenging and demanding, exhausting, tiring and frustrating things you can possibly do. I realized something else when I was in my business. It took me close on 12 months to be able to get to a point where my nostrils were just enough above water that I could start thinking about even promoting my business, for goodness sakes. And it hit me that here I am, I've got a background in economics, I've got a background in marketing and advertising, and I can't even get time to promote my business. How can I expect to be presumptuous enough to tell other business people who maybe don't even have those areas of skill to go and market their business? How could you possibly do this? But then a few other revelations came to me in my business. As I did get the opportunity to grow it, as my nostrils got a little bit above water, I started to promote. I started to spend not my $200,000 of OPM, other people's money, I started to spend or invest maybe $50 in a local paper advertisement or $150 in a letterbox drop to the local area. I started gaining the names and addresses of my customers and writing out to them. Little tiny amounts, but it started to work. And the more I did it, the more it worked. And I realized that there was a key here somewhere. And I'm going to share that key with you this afternoon. Interestingly though, and the more I did, the more I started to grow my business and at times actually pack the store with people, my own customers would come to me and say, look, I wonder if I could ask you something, Chris. I've got a little engineering business, or I've got a little landscaping business, or I've got a florist shop, or I've got an accounting firm. How would I go about promoting my business? Where would I start? Where would I go to get a brochure printed? How do I start writing an ad? I've never been able to get my advertising to work before. And people started asking this, and I actually started consulting to people over the delicatessen counter at night with the doors down and drawing ads on the back of my delicatessen packet. Perhaps the greatest lesson I learned at that point was a key question to ask. You see, when people would say, now help me write an ad, the first thing I had to do was to find out a little bit more about the business, their business. And I'd say, why should anyone buy from you? Why should someone buy from you? Now, I want you to ask yourself this question, ladies and gentlemen. In your own business, why should someone buy from you? Does anyone know the answer to their business right now? Not a BSO in that, I hope. Because if you can't think yourself instantly, why should someone buy from me? How can you expect other people to know why they should buy from you? Think about that. If I ask these people, why should I buy from you? And they would say, well, I don't know, we're an engineering firm just like every other engineering firm. We have the same tolerances and pretty well the same equipment. I don't know. And then they'd say something like, well, when we got into business in the first place, we thought we could change the world. We thought we'd do something really special in this particular industry. We'd really do some special things for our customers. And the more I probed, the more I asked and delved deeper and deeper into their reasons why they got into business in the first place, the more the passion came through. And now I get the most amazing stories coming out that say, you know, when we began, there were times when we would work till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to finish an order to deliver to our customer and clients because we made a promise to them. And even now, you know, we will, if we have an order and we've made a promise, we will drive across town if we have to and buy something retail to provide to our own customers, even if we make a loss on it. That's our commitment. That's what we're all about. And suddenly their passion would come through. They'd tell me about all these stories of how they went the extra mile, how someone would come in looking for a particular product, they'd make phone calls to Sydney, they'd make phone calls to the Orient or wherever it was to find out, to track down this particular thing for their clients. And then I'd ask them a really key question, and it's a question I want to ask you. And the question is this. If you're doing all of those things for your clients, do you ever think to actually tell your clients that you do them? BSO, blinding flash of the obvious time again. When I was relating that little story about people working till 2 o'clock in the morning and driving across town and selling things at a loss and making phone calls and chasing all over town for their clients, how many of you in the room actually said to yourself, we do that? Can I just do it? Isn't that interesting? How many of your clients do you actually tell that you do these things? Yeah, do you? We keep it the best kept secret on the planet. And then, as I said before, we expect people to understand that we're providing a higher level of service and a higher product quality. Truth is, we don't deserve to charge any more until we've educated people to the extra things that we do. I'll give you the classic story. I guess about 6 months ago, I was asked by one of the photographic groups, it was Hanamex Fuji, to travel around Australia and talk to their 300 mini labs, their Fuji Image Plazas. Now, as I do whenever I talk to any industry group, I do a lot of research because you don't want to walk in there and try to tell them how to run their business without at least knowing what their business is. So I spent a lot of time reading the literature and then going out and talking to the owners of these mini labs in their own premises. I learned a lot. And as it got to the end of my round of visits, I thought, I'm going to really try to get a reaction here. I just see the inside these people's heads. And I walked into one of these Fuji Image Plazas in the region of the Gold Coast. And there was a lady behind the counter. And I walked in and I introduced myself. My name is Chris Newton. I'm doing a series of seminars for Fuji Image Plazas, and I'd just love to spend some time talking to you about your business. Would that be okay? And she said, yeah, fine. And I said, look, I don't know how to quite say this to you, but I think you're ripping your customers off. I thought I'd get a reaction out of her. And she looked at me and she was absolutely shocked. I said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I've just noticed your prices are $12.95 for a set of prints. And I've just been down to the chemist shop down the road. And they're charging $9.95 for the same number of prints. So clearly you're ripping your customers off. And she said, we are not. She said, we've got better what? Better service and better quality. That's exactly what you said. And that's what everyone says in business when I ask them, you know, what have you got to set you apart from your competitors? Everyone says, we've got better service and we've got better quality. Trouble is everyone saying it. So I said, I'm going to go live on thin ice here. I'm going to take this a little step further. So I said to the lady, look, I hate to tell you this, but I've just been down to the chemist shop down the road, and I asked them about their product and service, and guess what they said? They had really terrific what? Service and quality. You've got it. They just said they've got good service and quality, so clearly we must be ripping their customers off. And the story would be really colourful if I could say she grabbed me at that time. She didn't physically grab me, but she could have the way she looked at me. She looked at me and she said, I want you to come with me. I want you to come with me. And she said, and she started walking around the back of the counter. And she took me around the back and she pointed to a machine about 3 times as big as this one. And she said, see that? I said, yes. She said, that's an $18,000 computer controlled print processor. And I said, yes. And she said, well, look what it does. And she pulled up a stool and she took down a strip of film, negative. And she put it through the little viewer window that was in front of her. And she said, see that? She said, that's in negative, but I've been trained for 5 years on how to see what that'll look like in positive. And I go through every single print. That's what we do at a Fuji Image Plaza. We go through every print individually, and we visually check it. And our computer-controlled print processor is specially programmed to color correct. If it's too warm or too cool, in other words, if there's too much red in it or too much blue in it, it will color correct. And if I don't think from my 5 years of experience that it's still right, I've got this little keyboard over here. See the keyboard? She said, yes. Yeah. She said, I can punch in commands here and I can color correct that even more. And then she said, not only that, when the prints are printed out, we go through each and every print before we put it in the envelope. And if there's a print there that is not up to our own performance standards in our store, we throw it in the rubbish bin and we do it again for the customer at no cost. And she said, not only that, if you know anything about colour prints, you'll know that the paper on a lot of prints fades after a number of years. We don't want our clients' memories to fade. So we use a more expensive, specially created paper. More expensive than the opposition, competitors. And I was absolutely enraptured at this story. And I said to her, that's a terrific story. Tell me, what do your customers say when you tell them this story? She said, oh, we don't tell customers. We don't tell anybody that we do these things. Can you see what she had there? She had what I call the magic story. She had the most wonderful story of quality, of service, of commitment to excellence, and yet it was the best kept secret on the planet. If she were only able to articulate that and to explain to her customers what she was doing for them, it may well have had a profound difference on the way that her customers perceived her business. It was the best kept secret on the planet. I'll give you an example how you can, what we call, make the invisible visible. How do you make the invisible things that we do visible? What did I say she did with the prints that she looked at and were not up to her own personal performance standards? What did she do with them? She threw them in the rubbish bin. What would have happened, ladies and gentlemen, if she had taken those prints and put a big fat sticker on it that said, these are the prints that failed our performance standards. We've reprinted them for you at our expense, but we thought you'd like to see the difference in quality. Put a big sticker on it. What do you think might happen? You know, like, these are the ones that John West rejected sort of message on there. Can you see how that would have made the invisible really visible? I want you to ask yourself this. How many of you in this room have got stories like that you are keeping a best kept secret? Let me ask you, just please put your hand up. How many of you have got stories? Hey, look at that. Isn't that interesting? Thank you. Isn't that interesting that you have got these stories and you don't tell anybody? a lot of what we're going to talk about this afternoon in this journey of common sense marketing and common sense growing of a business really has to do with simply articulating and telling people the things that you already do.
Let's just take a break for a moment. We've covered a lot of ground in a short time, so let's recap on some of the things we've discussed so far. The major issue Chris wants you to understand from that session is that of perceived value. From your client's or customer's point of view, perception is the reality. So until you take the time to educate them to the value of the products or services you're providing for them, they can only judge you according to their perceptions. If you take no more time than anyone else to explain the benefits of your product or service in terms that are relevant to your customers or clients, then you have no right to expect that they'll value what you do for them any more than they value anyone else in your industry. And what that means is the only thing they've left to make a purchasing decision on is price. So take the time to sit down and answer the question, why should someone buy from you? It'll be very worth your while. And while you're doing that, get specific. Stay away from the generalities of better service, better quality, and define how and why your service is better, and how and why your quality is better. Do that in terms your customers care about, and you'll be streets ahead. You might like to take a break now and work on that right now. Once you've done that, join Chris again as he moves on to what I believe to be one of the most exciting parts of this program. You're about to learn the most profound formula for business success I've ever heard. By the way, turn to pages 9 and 10 in your workbook. You'll need the worksheet there for this session.
So let's move on. What I like to do is build on this and start with the concept of the three ways to grow a business. Now, as I said to you at the outset, I want you to be the marketing expert for me here. I want you to draw on your vast experience now. We're going to take a business and I want you to be the marketing consultant. If I told you, we'll take a hypothetical little business. It's, let's say, a menswear store. It's here in town somewhere. How many of you, let's say it's a couple hundred thousand dollar business, not a big business, how many of you in the room right now, without my going any further, believe honestly that you could go in there and dramatically impact the sales and profitability of that business? Let's say add $60,000 to their turnover. Who's got the skills to do it right now? Interesting, I think. Yeah, there's a couple of you who, yeah, and I believe you could too. I absolutely believe you could. For two reasons. One, because you say you can, and it's a great indication that you could do it. But number two, and more importantly, nobody is doing anything out there in business, really, as you will see. So if you go and do something, it's going to make an impact. How would it be if in the next 45 minutes, I can get you to confess that you really could grow that business by $60,000. Would it be interesting little exercise? Would be, wouldn't it? To do that, I need your help. I need you to help me come up with some ways and means to actually grow that business. So when we go down there and consult to them, tomorrow for example, we've got the tools. What are the tools we have at our disposal? Let's say we're going to grow their customer base. What sort of tools have we got? What marketing tools have we got?
Referral,
that's a great one, referral. Fantastic. What else have we got? Referral. What else? Your existing customers, terrific. So we could nurture the existing customers. This is terrific stuff. What else have we got? Okay, we've got walk-through traffic, so we've got our position, let's say, our retail position, it's a retail store. What about advertising? No one's mentioned advertising. How many of you in the room now spend hard dollars on advertising? Can I just see? Okay, interesting. How many of you who spend hard dollars on your advertising have a sneaking suspicion that it doesn't work in many cases, that it really is, yeah? Yeah. How would you like to know how to make ads really work? Would that be a help? Great, because we're going to do that this afternoon as well. So let's take advertising. We can take advertising. We can take direct mailings. Any of you direct mail? Do direct mail now? Yep, you do? Terrific. Direct mailings.
Publicity.
Yep. Okay. Do you have another BFO before we go on? Let me give you another BFO. The idea of referrals came up before. This is another blinding flash of the obvious, I suspect, for many of you. How many of you in this room right now genuinely believe that a substantial, if not majority, of your existing business comes from word of mouth and referrals? Can I see? How much of you? Yeah? Nearly every one of you. Nearly every one of you gets a substantial proportion, if not a majority, of your business from referrals. Let me ask you this. Please put your hand up if you have a system for generating referrals. Can I just see? Congratulations to the four of you. To the rest of you, blinding flash of the obvious. If you have got a vast proportion of your business coming from referrals and you're not doing anything to get those referrals, the future of your business is in the lap of the gods, wouldn't you say? Fair comment. Future of your business is largely in the lap of the gods. What would happen if you could create a referral system that turned that business on and off like a tap? So when you needed more business, you generate it. When you've got enough business, just turn the tap off. Would that be worth having? We're going to have a look at that this afternoon as well. But that's another one of these blinding flashes of the obvious. We get so close to our own business. We tend to, I guess, get blinded. We get blinkers on to the opportunities that are around us. Most people, when they think about growing their business, are focusing on the hard things, these marketing and advertising things, when in most of the potential in a business is already resident within the business. It's just a matter of knowing where to look. And referrals is a very, very exciting part of that. However, let's move on here. What tools do we have, for example, to, let's say, with this little Mentorist tool, to get the profitability up, get the profitability and the margins up in the business? What can we do? Say again? Go to suppliers and what? Get a bigger, better range of stock, let's say? Alright, reduce the cost is certainly a good way to do it, but also increase the range of stock, because that's going to increase the dollar value, because you're going to have more stock there to sell. So that's going to increase it. What else can we do to increase the margins?
Smile.
Smile a lot? Good. I'm going to put that under the category. It's June, is it? Jane. I'm going to put that under the category of training, because I truly believe that training our people is something that we all pay lip service to. And if we can truly understand the power of training our people, it just unlocks vastly more potential. Again, it's got nothing to do with advertising, nothing to do with going outside. It's what's already happening within. What else can we do to get the profit margins up, let's say? Reduce cost, yeah, we've sort of talked about that. What's the other side of that coin? Increase the prices, absolutely so. Increase the prices. Now, some people would say, heresy! Increase the prices? How dare you? Don't you know times are tough? Don't you know that if we increase the prices, people will walk away from us in droves and we'll go out of business? And so you deserve to do if you're not providing the higher quality of service and quality of product to justify that higher price. However, as most of you said to me when we began this little journey, yes, I am providing a service or a product at a higher level than I'm charging for. So increasing the prices is a perfectly valid strategy to increase your profit margins. Perfectly valid, providing you can deliver the services at that higher level.
This ends side one of your cassette. Please turn over immediately for continuation on side two.
Why doesn't that happen? Well, it doesn't happen because of the training thing, in many cases. either we ourselves have got this cringe that if we put our prices up, people will walk away. But more to the point, I think we put the most important part of our business in the hands of our frontline people, and we do not educate them to the value that they are actually imparting to their customers. I wonder if any of you have had this scenario. I certainly have. You walk into a store, let's for example a menswear store. You walk into the menswear store and you walk up and you look at a suit or you look at some beautiful, exquisite piece of clothing, and as you're looking to it, at it, the salesperson comes along and says, "Oh, look, there's cheaper ones over here." Ever happened? It happens. It happens. It's because that the person doing the selling does not understand what they are actually doing. They have this perception that selling is somehow hard sell. Selling is screwing people out of their money. When in fact the truth of professional selling is helping people to get what they want. It's a great definition of professional selling. Professional selling is helping people to get what they want. And in many cases where people are who are in a frontline selling position are downselling, they should be upselling. And they should also be cross-selling. How many of us have walked into a business, and let's say it's a clothing store, and we come out with a pair of slacks or a blouse or whatever, and we walk outside that business and they said thank you and sort of waved us goodbye, and when we get outside we think, oh, well, now I need a pair of shoes for that, or a bag, or, you know, it happens, it does, doesn't it? Happens all the time. And yet the people in that business are saying, oh, times are tough and sales are down. The only reason that they are failing is because they are failing to professionally help people to get all the things that they'd love to buy. And isn't it true, when we make the first purchasing decision, the rest of it becomes fun. Once you've made the decision to buy, all those add-on things are just fun. It's good fun to buy. We love to buy once we've made a decision that we're in the right store with the right product. And yet many times the people that we entrust with the future of our business are the people who are actually holding down our potential because they've got the whole wrong idea about what selling really is. In fact, you know, there's a fascinating definition of the word selling. In the dictionaries, you know, those big hernia-producing dictionaries that you can get, one of the definitions of selling is to con. You know, to sell someone a pup. You know, to con people. It is. To con. Now, if we let our people get straight out into the front line without understanding what they're really doing, maybe they're having this really bad vibe that, hey, oh, I don't really like doing this, I'm conning people by upselling and cross-selling. And yet, upselling and cross-selling is one of the greatest opportunities we've got. And I'll share a story with you later about one of our clients who doubled her sales simply by focusing on the cross-selling process and simply by educating her people to the fact that selling was professionally helping their customers and clients to buy. We might say, not too much of this sounds like marketing yet. In fact, a lot of what this guy is telling us, we already know. Well, I've got a bit of a revelation for you. Most of what I will tell you this afternoon, you already know. At least we pay lip service to it. We think we know it, but we don't apply it. And the really exciting thing for me is to see that because we haven't all got skills in marketing and we think that this marketing thing must be really difficult, it's not. The marketing thing is so simple, it's just that we're too close to it. I'll give you an example of this increasing the values here and show you again how simple it can be. I mentioned Michael Gerber before. Michael Gerber is an author in the United States and a highly respected consultant to small business and a great thinker. Michael Gerber, like Results Corporation, has got a large number of small business clients and a large number of retail clients. And when we brought Michael out to this country, he told his most fascinating story about how he analyzed the sales figures of a selection of his clients. And he said, he said to himself, I'm going to do something about the average dollar value of their sale. So he said, for the next 3 weeks to a selection of these clients, he said, I simply want you to measure the average dollar value of a sale in your business. Didn't tell him any more. He just said, I want you to meticulously measure the average dollar value of a sale. And they did that for 3 weeks. At the end of the 3 weeks, he went back to that selection of clients and he said, I want you to do something differently for the next 3 weeks. I want you to change one fundamental thing that your frontline people are doing in that business. I want you to get them to change the greeting when people walk in the door. Now, here's the $64,000 question, ladies and gentlemen. Bear in mind, this is the United States, not Australia. What do you think, almost to a person, their greeting was for the first 3 weeks when a customer walked in the door and a person walked towards them? What was their greeting? Can I help you? Yeah. Can I help you? To a person. That's what it was. And the really funny thing is that there's an international response to that too, which is, no thanks, I'm just looking. No thanks, I'm just looking. Michael Gerber said, I want you without fail to change that greeting. For the next 3 weeks, your frontline people have to say the following. Hi, have you been in here before? Hi, have you been in here before? That was the new greeting. He tells some pretty fascinating stories about people saying, hi, have you been in here before? And the other person saying, what do you mean? I own this place. Come in here all the time. But what he did do by getting them to change the greeting was to change the whole dynamic of the feeling in that business. Do you know what happened? Average dollar value sales in those businesses across the board went up an average 16% by doing nothing more than saying, hi, have you been in here before? Anyone in the room like a 16% increase in sales right now? Can I just see? I mean, this stuff is almost too simple, but it works. Matter of interest, why do you think that the sales went up 16%? What had to happen when the salesperson said, hi, have you been in here before? What did I have to start? A conversation, you've got it. They had to start a conversation. And the fun thing about selling is that it's not hard to sell at all. It's simply communicating with people, isn't it? Isn't that what selling's all about? It is simply helping people to get what they want. But by saying this, can I help you, it was putting this barrier up. By taking that away and saying, hi, have you been here before? They were forced into a conversation. 16% increase in sales. Pretty astonishing stuff. And that's why this stuff works. Let's move on and find out some more things here. We've got nurturing existing customers. Give you another example that we might use with this little menswear store downtown here. We have a very good client in Melbourne, a gentleman by the name of George Bacanas. And he's got a gentleman's outfitter store by the name of House of Oxford. George came to us. He had a good, healthy business. You know, he had a good range of clients, good body of clients. When we finished with George, I have to tell you, he didn't have any clients. But he's a really happy man. Guess what he's now got? Members. He has now got members in his business. Because he understands that for him to grow his business and truly serve his customers, he has to show them special privileges. He has to show them that he really cares in ways and means that go way beyond paying lip service to, oh yes, we look after our customers. So many people say, we care about our customers, and our customers wouldn't go anywhere else. And while they're pontificating these things, their customers are over the road buying off somebody else. They have fallen for the curse of assumption. They assume that those people will come back to them. What George Bacanas realized was that for him to grow his business, he really had to build a relationship with his customers. So he turned them into members. He gave them a membership card. He sends them a newsletter. He sends them advanced notice of new clothing styles that are coming. He has closed door sales at night for them where no one else is allowed in. Public doesn't know about it for 2 weeks. He has nights where he has color coordination experts come in and talk to them about wardrobe planning. He adds value, adds value, adds value. Interesting that in George Bakanis's case, his customers have increased their number of purchases from 2 times a year to 5 times a year. And it came out of nurturing the existing customers and creating privileges, a privileged buyer. How many of you have some form of privileged buyer card or a frequent buyer card? Anyone? You do? Terrific. Tell me, James, how does it work for you? What sort of business is it? For a start.
Oh, it's
humanity. Yeah, you've got one from a store? Great. You mind grabbing the mic? So you've got a privileged buyer card from what type of business?
I've got several. I've got a plain one,
frequent flyer.
Myer card.
Terrific. Okay. Now, let's take the frequent flyer program. When you fly, does that make you want to fly with that airline?
I am loyal to a team.
Yep.
In that, I'll go out of my way to be on that plane because I want more points.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Jane. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Because the airlines are smart enough to know that if they can build a relationship and they can build that bond with you, that they're going to get more of your business. They're very, very astute. The only problem is they're all on the bandwagon. They're all doing the same thing now. But in your businesses, I wonder what the potential is to do a similar thing. I wonder how many of you have got repeat purchase potential from your customer base or your client base that is being frittered away. I wonder what would happen if you found ways to build relationships with your client, add value to them, send them newsletters, communicate with them, give them special information, keep them up to date on things, tell them about new trends, send them out things unexpectedly, turn those customers into clients and the clients into advocates. Because when you get advocates, they're the people who will be out there bringing you more and more business. So we've got privileged buyer programs. So all right, let's have a look now. Let's go back to our little menswear store. As I can see it here, quick count, we've got about 15 ways to grow our business already. Would you agree? Got a shopping list already. But really, if we were to put these into categories, we would truly see that there are only three fundamental ways to grow a business. And they are to do things that bring us more customers. More customers. Oh, sorry. More customers. What can we do to generate more customers? Secondly, the second one here is what can we do to change the average dollar value of a sale? And thirdly, what can we do to increase the number of times our customers purchase from us, or clients, let's say in a year? Now, you may well say to me, oh, all very well and good, but I mean, I know all that stuff, that's that simple. Why would I even take all this time to work through this little exercise? Well, let me tell you this. I spoke at the outset about a gentleman who increased his after-tax profits by 152%. He did it by doing nothing more than focusing on these three categories, these three boxes. It is so powerful when you understand the dynamic of it. Let me show you how it works. Let's take that little menswear store. So we've got these three categories. The first one is the number of customers. Let's say this little store has got 1,000 customers. And let's also say that their average dollar value of a sale is $100. And the number of times that they get customers to come into their business is 2 times a year. By the way, what's the turnover of this business? 200,000, yeah, for those of you who didn't get it, the questions get harder, so lean in.
$200,000.
That's right, $200,000 business.
It's interesting. By the way, if we looked at, I think it's probably page 9 in your little workbook there. If we look at the, is that 9? Yeah, page 9. If we looked at page 9 in that little workbook, and I said to you, I'd like you to fill in the numbers for your business right now for those three boxes. Fill in the number of customers you've got, fill in the average dollar value of a sale, and fill in the number of times that your clients or customers buy from you in a year. How many of you would get this unbelievable urge to race outside and get Bert or Greg or their team to come? Quick, what are our numbers? How many of you know those numbers like that? Can I just see? Okay, so you, congratulations. So the rest of you, I want you to think about this. If you do not know these numbers, these vital numbers to the growth of your business, how can you know where you're going if you don't know where you are? I urge you to work those numbers out. Now, obviously, the numbers are going to vary. Number of customers, you might say, well, we get people who spend $60,000 and people who spend $60. Do I count those? Or you might say, well, some people buy 10 times a year and some people buy 2 times a year. You might want to say, I'm going to categorize my clients, but I want to put these numbers down. I'll show you as we go why it's absolutely vital that you know these numbers. There's a saying that goes, what we measure, we can manage. And the other side of that coin, of course, is what we don't measure, we can't manage. I'll give you an example of this and the dynamic of it before we go on. We talk about conversion factors. Conversion factor is the rate at which we get new inquiries coming into our business and how many of those we turn into sales. How many inquiries turn into sales? How many of you at this moment know the conversion factor for your business? Can I see? Interesting. Thank you. One person, two people. I mentioned before a lady who has a business in Western Australia who revolutionized her business. She said, I want you to help me grow my business. She's got her travel agencies. She said, I want you to write me an ad for my travel agency. Now, if we weren't doing our job, guess what we would have done? Written her an ad. That's exactly what we would have done had we have not been doing our job. However, what we did do is we said, Ronnie, before we can do that for you, we need to understand more about your business. We need to understand how your business ticks. We need to understand the strategy that you're trying to achieve with this advertisement. Otherwise, the ad could be totally wasted. The dollars could be totally wasted. We asked her, we sent her a little questionnaire. One of the questions was, what's your conversion factor from inquiries to sales? She wrote in there, 80%, 80%. When it came back to us, with the experience, I guess, that we've got with working with hundreds of businesses, we thought, this can't be right. This cannot be right. And we went back to Ronnie and said, Ronnie, we need you to measure something for us. For the next 4 weeks, we need you to measure the number of people who are coming in and phoning into your business and how many of those inquiries turn into sales. So she did that. 4 weeks later, next consultation, she rang us. She was absolutely dumbfounded. She said, my conversion factor is not 80% at all. Her conversion factor of inquiries to sales was 18%, 1/8. She was absolutely shocked and devastated. To be honest with you, our strategy team in the office at Results Corporation are absolutely out of the moon. You know why? Because you can't do much with 80%, but you can do a lot with 18%, so we're going to look heroes. You know, by focusing on nothing more than her conversion factor of 18%, by finding ways and means to increase that for her, we took her conversion factor from 18% to 42%. That, ladies and gentlemen, is dramatically more than a doubling in sales.
What you can measure, you can manage. What you don't measure, you cannot manage. She was focusing on all the wrong things. She had this business resident there waiting to be had. How many of you in this room are thinking, I wonder what I can do to grow my business. I wonder how I can get more customers. And yet, it may be waiting for you because so many of the people who are walking into your business or phoning into your business now are not being converted from inquiry to sale. If you were to increase it by 20%, how exciting could that be? Let's say if your conversion factor at the moment is 1 in 5. Just pull a cigarette out of the air. 1 in 5 of the inquiries that you get turn into sales. What would happen if through the training that you do with your people, through the focus, through ways of communicating better with your customers when they walk in or your clients, what if that by doing those basic things, we could get the conversion factor from 1 in 5 to 1 in 4? How does that translate to an increased sale? 20%. We're looking at a phenomenal increase by doing nothing more than focusing on the basics. Can you see what I'm about? Can you see how this stuff is so simple? It's so simple that most people say, it can't be that easy. This can't be that easy, and yet it is. We have seen it over and over again. I mentioned to you that I've been doing some industry-specific workshops just recently. I was doing one for one of the car manufacturing companies last week, talking to their top dealers in Australia. And we asked them the same question. How many of your inquiries are turning into sales? Firstly, more than half the people in the room did not have any idea what their conversion factor was. And of the ones who thought they knew, they really didn't have an idea how accurate it was because they said, our reporting system is so imperfect, we really don't know. We worked out for them that in the automotive industry, to get somebody to come into their dealership and buy a car, it costs the manufacturer $600 just to get them to walk onto the floor. And then it's costing, because of all these lost sales, because of all these people who walk in, phone in and get lost, it's costing the dealers up to another $600 in those lost sales. It's costing $600 to make a sale because of all the ones you lose. I want you to think about this for your business. Think of the money you spend on advertising. Think of the money you have in overheads and the salaries you're paying and the phone system you've gotten and the stationery and all those things that you have just to get someone to pick up the phone and call you. You're investing those dollars now. It's scary what those dollars might be. If you can turn your focus around and think and get your people to think that every time that phone rings, every time someone walks in, it has already been an investment of maybe hundreds of dollars for that event to have happened. You cannot afford to lose those people. If you like, this might sound a little bit graphic for some, educate yourself and your people that when the person walks in, you see $400 tatted across their head. So that's what it's cost you, right? $400. And that might help you to say, hey, we've got to come up with systems to ensure that we maximize the conversion rate. We've got to train our people. We've got to help them understand that selling is professionally helping people to get what they want. It's not hard sell. We cannot afford to let people walk away. And I'll give you another thought as well. If someone comes into your business, even if they come in to ask for a price, why are they coming in? Because they want to buy, right? They are not coming in because they want to ask for the price. They're coming in probably because they don't know anything else to say. They're coming in because they want to buy. I want you to ask yourself this. If you don't sell them what they want to buy, have you ever thought that you're inflicting them onto your competition? Sure, that's an interesting thought. You are throwing them in the jungle out there of your competitors. And if you genuinely believe, as I truly believe you do in this room, that you give great service and that you provide an admirable quality of service, and your competitors may be not up to the same level as you are, every time that you lose a sale, you are inflicting those potential customers onto your opposition. Think about that. Think about the number of dollars that you've already expended for them to walk through the door. Think of the dynamics of measuring what you do. I'm sure Bert and Greg and their team have got great skill in helping you to measure and manage those key indicators. They are absolutely vital. Let's have a quick look at our example, our menswear store. I want to turn you, as I said, into marketing geniuses, and I'm running out of time. I've got about 32 minutes to do it, so let's get moving on this. What I want to do is to focus, firstly, on the number of customers we've got. I want to come up with some ways and means that you could go tomorrow and dramatically impact that business's customer base. And here's how we'll do it. For a start, this afternoon, I'm going to show you a way to recreate their advertising. I'm going to show you a technique that will increase the response to an advertisement up to 300%. I'm going to show you another idea for advertising that will increase the readership of an ad up to 500%, and I'm going to show you a third factor that can increase the impact of an advertisement up to 20 times. Notice I'm saying up to 20 times. I'm not going to guarantee you're going to get 20 times more response to an ad. But you are going to learn some skills and techniques that will absolutely help you to increase in multiples the impact to ads. Now, as I see, most advertising and most small businesses these days doesn't work anyway, so any improvement's going to be an advantage. So we're going to look at those three factors, 300%, 500%, 2,000%. I want you to trust me for a moment that I can deliver on that, right? Just trust me for the moment that I can deliver on that. As well as that, what's the other tool we've got? I'll give you a hint. What's the other tool we've got to go and help this little store? Referrals. Absolutely. If we were to go to this little store and talk to them simply about a system to put into their business that consistently generates referrals. If we were to do those things, do you think we might be able to impact on their customer base and increase it for them? Yes or no? Absolutely. What do you reckon we could get it up to? 300%, 500%, 2,000% in a referral system. Sky's the limit, isn't it, Jane? It is, absolutely. Seeing as we've got some accountants in the room, let's be conservative. Let's take 10%. Achievable? Yes or no? Yep? Everyone say yes? Yep? Great. Okay. 10%. Let's take the second element. The average dollar value of a sale. You now are going to go down to this hypothetical little store tomorrow and you're going to say to them things like, let's have a look at the way your people greet their customers. Are they saying, can I help you? We'll change that 16% right there. We'll talk to your people about that selling is professionally helping people to get what they want. We'll teach them that it's not conning people, it's not hard sell. We'll teach them to not make judgments on how much people can afford or want to spend based on their own capacity to spend. We'll teach them that if they improve their product range and their presentation, they are going to increase the value of the average sale. We'll teach them the skills of cross-selling and upselling. If we were to do all of those things, even give them the concept, don't even teach them the skills, if we only gave them the concept, let me ask you, do you think we might get the average dollar value sale up? Absolutely, yeah? What do you think we might get it up to? 10%. Our conservative accountant says 10%. Let's go with 10%. I want to be really conservative here because I don't want you to think I'm doing this with mirrors, right? I don't want you to think that there's some trick to this. Let's take the third one. Why even spend much time on that? We now know that this retail store is falling for the curse of assumption, and the curse of assumption is that they're assuming people are going to come back and buy from them. What we're going to educate them is that you have to develop a relationship, what's called relationship marketing. You've got to build a relationship with your customers if you're going to earn the right to have them come back to you. So we're going to talk to them about privileged buyer cards. We're going to talk to them about writing back to their customers, getting names and addresses and writing out to them and saying, I like you. And here's our new product ranges, and here's some advance notice, and here's a little evening we've put on for you where we're going to bring in someone to talk to you about colors and how to combine your wardrobe and so on and so on and so on. Do you think by doing these things we might get more purchases, more per year? George Bacanus, as I mentioned before, actually got five average purchases a year from two. But let's be conservative. On behalf of our accountants, let's work on 10%. They do. We've already got this business up by 10%, haven't we already? Yes or no? Yes or no, we haven't, have we? We have actually multiplied the effect. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just confessed to increasing the turnover of that little business by $66,200. You did it. You just did it. Do you realize the power of that? Do you see what you just did? Let me ask you a question. How many of you in the room, having seen the simplicity of that and knowing the things we've talked about so far, and we've got so far to go, but having seen the simplicity of what you've seen so far, genuinely, honestly believe that you could go into a business and at least make some impact on their turnover? Can I see? Who could do that? Wow, look at that. It's nearly 100%. BFO time, ladies and gentlemen. If you can do it for another business, why don't you do it for yourself? Why don't you do it for your own business? I'll tell you the reason why. It's because we get caught up in the complexity of it all. We think it's too complex, that it's too hard. We don't know where to start. You know, I work till all hours of the night. I can't think about marketing. I'm telling you that the greatest potential for your business right now is sitting in your business waiting to explode, waiting to happen. It's very, very simply a matter of focusing on these three key areas. See the power of that? Can you see the power of it? What I'd really like you to do tonight is to take that little workbook away and fill in the numbers, fill in the boxes on page 9 up the top. And then based on the ideas that we work through today, I want you to do some what ifs and look at the bottom range of boxes there and say, what if we were to increase through our advertising, our customer base? What if we put in a referral system? What if we could add value to our average dollar value of a sale by simply training our people better and focusing on add-ons and adding value? What if we sent out a newsletter? What if we actually told people we like you and here's a little buyer card? What if we created that privileged buyer philosophy? And then just play with the numbers down the bottom of the page and put in what might be. Be conservative and see what it comes out at. I had some people at a recent seminar of a group about this size. One gentleman got up and said, I have to tell you, I've got a camping area, camping business, caravans and camping. He said, in my business, that could translate to $1.6 million. That'd be quite a business. And then somebody else said, I've got a little bakery store. I can translate that into $160,000. And somebody else said, look, if this is only 10% for me, there's $195,000 I can see right here. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there is enormous power in this. And the exciting thing is that it's totally simple. It's so simple. We all look for the hard things when, in fact, it's right there waiting for you. Has that been an interesting little exercise? Great. Because what I'd like to do is to move on now and deliver for you the hows and ways and means to do this.
Now, before we move on, let's just take another moment to recap on what Chris has covered during that session. As Chris says, there really are only three ways to grow a business. by getting more customers or clients, by increasing your average dollar sale, and by increasing the frequency of purchase. It's that simple. Yet the truth is, most businesses only ever focus on the first part of the equation, getting more customers. And that gives you a great advantage because you now understand a business growth formula that can very quickly add tens of thousands of dollars to your bottom line. And the beauty of it is, too, that many of the things Chris talks about won't cost you an extra cent over and above what you're already spending. Changing the way you greet customers in your store, measuring your team's sales conversion ratio, creating a sales checklist, educating your clients to the value you're providing. These things virtually cost you nothing, yet they have a staggering impact on your profits. So do turn to page 9 in your workbook and start listing out your opportunities under the three headings there, and do fill in the numbers for yourself. Be conservative, but do it. You'll uncover profit potential for your business that you might never have imagined existed. Once you've done that, listen in again. Chris will help you add more and more to your list of opportunities as you progress through this program.